Well, this week on Friday, we got to celebrate the birthday of our son. He's now 2 years old, and everybody's like, oh, he's in the terrible twos. He was already terrible. So I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He's awesome. He's not in here, so I can say that. And he won't remember later on in his life, so we'll be fine. Anyway, as Andrea and I were talking about, like, what should we get him for his birthday, it became really, really apparent that one of us is very good at giving gifts, and the other one of us is not. And I'll let you guess who's who. Actually, I won't. I'll tell you. I'm terrible at giving gifts. I'm the type of person that, like, when it comes to Christmas time, when it comes to birthdays, anything like that, I tell Andrea, I'm like, hey, can you just do me the favor and, like, make the Amazon list and just let me know what to buy for you? Don't make me do the, that sounds bad, but, like, you know what you want, I don't know what you want. Like, just help me in this. And sometimes I'm like, honestly, just put it in the cart. Like, it's fine, just put it in the cart. And then there's other times where I'm like, hey, just hit the buy now button on Amazon. Like, I'll wrap it, but you already know. Like, so I'm that person that I'm really, really bad at giving gifts. Andrea, on the other hand, is like the person that can just walk into a store and like see something is like, oh, that's perfect. Like, she knows exactly who to give it to and just has these moments. And so that's what happened when we were going to buy a gift for our son, Oliver. We had set a budget and we did all that because we're trying to be responsible people. And so we're walking through the store and Andrea's like, there it is. Like, that's the gift. We're like, that's what we're getting. And we got him a slide. Greatest gift of all time for a two-year-old, getting them like a Little Tykes indoor slide. This kid has been on it from morning to night every single day this weekend. And he even went and like put it into all of the rooms in our house to try out what room works best for him to slide in. I don't know. Greatest gift of all time. And the thing is, like, as we were walking through the store, like, we just kept seeing things and we're like, oh, we should get him this. And then we're like, oh, wait, like, look at this. He would love this new car. And you know, we saw the Power Wheel things. And I was like, yeah, let's get him the big Power Wheel. Like, not realizing what that takes for me as a parent, that I have to then, like, chase him around our neighborhood on this Power Wheel, making sure he doesn't run into anything. We didn't get him that. But we just kept going like, oh, we want to get him this, we want to get him this. And so now we have a growing list of things we want to get for our son. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I think that's actually most of us. Like when it comes to giving gifts to other people, we want to be really generous, right? Well, like most of us would give to other people as much as we could if we didn't have limitations of finances or whatever. I think that's actually part of the image of God that's in us. And this morning, I know, like you already see on the screen, it says give generously, like that's a focus. But I'm just going to ask you, I know I have heard hundreds of sermons by pastors who talk about giving, and sometimes it's really easy for us to just say, I've heard it. Like I get it, I know I'm meant to give, but I'm just asking for you this morning, would you please just prayerfully listen? Because I want you to know that, like, I'm not out to get all of your money. Like, I'm not. I'm really not out to get all of your money or anything like that. Here's the thing. I believe God gives to us generously. And God has a very, very generous heart. And that heart is inside of us. And what I hope to do this morning is to just walk together and see how we can unlock that generous heart that God has already given to us. So can you do that with me this morning? Can we agree to that? Just to walk together in this message as we open God's word? Yes? Are we cool with that? Thank you. And I just want you to know, like, as we've been talking about giving as a church, our finance team has been going, we went to a budgeting webinar thing, whatever it was called, I don't really know. And one of the things when it comes to giving generously is we've then, as a church, have been looking at, like, well, how do we become more generous? Well, like, how do we maybe change our budget in ways that say we're going to become way more generous as a church, because that's what we believe God is calling us to. And so this isn't just for you as an individual, but this has been for us as a team here. We're looking at what can we do to show God's heart to our community and be generous to our community. See, I think most of us would agree that we really want to give. Would you agree with that? Like if you had no limitations of finances, would you agree that you would be a giving, generous person? Yes? You can say yes. Come on, church. Don't make me get fired. No, I'm just kidding. I really do believe that, like, that is the natural inclination of our heart. That we are generous people. But something happened along the way in history, and that very thing is sin. See, when sin entered the world, when we go back to the story of Adam and Eve, and we see the original sin that took place, something happened where selfishness came into the picture. And they decided that they wanted to be like God, and they were selfish in their decision. And so now there's this battle of this generous heart that God has for us and God has given to us, and then there's the selfish part of sin. And those two are constantly at play in our lives. And so this morning, as we look at what does it mean to give generously, that's where we're looking. Like, what does this battle look like, and why should we fight that battle each and every day? There's a number of reasons why we're meant to give, and I just want to start by sharing why. Like, why should we give? What does it mean to be generous? Why should we even consider to be generous people? And it starts really, really early on in Scripture, and it's very simple. It's we give because God gave to us. That's the reason. We give because God has given to us. You know, when we go all the way back to the creation story, when you look at the very, very beginning of God's Word, when God formed Adam out of the dust, do you know what he did? He breathed his life into him. God gave to Adam his very breath, his life. And God gives to us our very breath, our very lives. And God, at the very beginning, gave to all of humanity his creation. He said, "This is for you, everything that I have created. All of this stuff is for you to live in, to enjoy, to take care of. Everything that you and I see and do ultimately comes from our Creator. Our ability to work, our ability to produce anything, our ability to think, to dream, to create, all come from the very DNA of God which was breathed into us." And that's what it means to be made in the image of God. Not that we really look like God, but that his characteristics are in us. But our sin hides them. And that includes the very heart of generosity. And this generous heart of God's that's in us, we can see God's generous heart all throughout of Scripture. I just want to highlight a few of them for you. We see God gives in a variety of ways to his people, and it started with his breath and with his DNA making us in his image and creation. But then he continues to give us promises. And we just talked about this during Christmas time, how God has given to us all of these promises and how they've become true. And then it continues, God gave to us the ability to have children and to reproduce and to continue to live in his creation. God gave to us freedom of choice to choose him. God gave to the Israelites the freedom of slavery from Egypt, and he has given to us the freedom of slavery from our sin. God continues to give us with leadership. And in Scripture, he gave to his people deliverers. He gave them priests. He gave them kings. He gave them prophets. God has given to us harvest, things that we make and things that are produced in this life that is meant for us to use and to eat. And God has given to us healing. All throughout Scripture, we see that God is a God who heals, and God is still at work healing people to this day. God is generous, and ultimately we know, as it tells us in John 3:16, that because God so loved the world, he gave us his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. But he didn't stop there. After the life, after the death, after the resurrection of Jesus, God has continued to give. God poured out his Holy Spirit on us. And he said, my Holy Spirit is going to live in you. It's going to be my presence in you. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you. It's going to be there for you, to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you. God is very, very, very generous to us. And we give because he gave to us. But what does it look like for us to actually give? You know, are there things that we probably should be doing? Yes. With a very heart of generosity that God has and God has given to us, we're meant to give freely and first, because this is the very way and the very nature in which God gave to us. Again, we're going all the way back to creation. I know I'm jumping around a bit. There's going to be some scripture on the screen at some point for you, I promise. But when we go back to creation, we see that God has given to us, and by us I mean humanity, he's given to us his breath. We did nothing to earn it. And he gave it to us first, and he gave it to us freely. He said, here is my breath. God gave Adam and Eve free will. He gave them trust. He said, I trust you. He gave them the ability to steward, to be good stewards, even though they had shown no ability to actually steward what he had already given to them. He said, I'm giving this all to you freely, and I'm giving it to you first before you've even proved yourself to be able to do that. I'm giving all of this to you. And just as we're reminded in Romans 5:8, it says this, but God showed us his great love for us by sending us Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, freely God gave us Jesus. Before anybody put their faith in him, before humanity turned from their sin, God said, no, here's the way. Here is my Son. Here is Jesus. The way to get back in a right relationship to me. And I'm giving him to you freely. And I'm giving him to you first. He is my firstborn. And the way that God gives to us is not with any reluctance. He doesn't hold back from us. And he does give us his very best. And he does so with a joy. See, Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 7 says this. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to any pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. See, that means that we don't give out of pressure. If there's a pressure involved, then it's probably not out of the right place. But we're meant to give in the way that God gives to us, which is joyfully giving to his children. Just like the joy that I experience in watching my son open up this gift that we gave him, that's how God feels when he gives to us. He gives to us joyfully and cheerfully, and he wants for us to experience all that he's given to us. And that includes experiencing the very joy that we're meant to experience when we give freely to others. We don't give out of pressure, but we give out of a heart that is full of joy and cheerful. See, last week, if you were here with us, we talked about this idea of how we're meant to grow together and what that looks like. And what it boils down to is we're meant to seek the kingdom of God first and above all else. To give joyfully as part of that kingdom. The kingdom is where God is doing what he is doing in the world. And this is a place of joy. God takes pleasure in giving to us. And God wants for us to know that very joy, know and experience it for ourselves. That's why Scripture tells us to give freely and first. But as Paul mentioned, it starts in our heart. We're meant to decide in our hearts what to give. And that's because of that battle. The battle of selfishness or the battle of generosity. It's a matter of the heart. And as Christ followers, that means we're meant to follow the example of Jesus, who shows us the very heart of the Father. The example of Jesus is one that was willing to go to the cross, to give up his life for us, so that we could experience everlasting life with God. And this very heart of God, this generous heart of God, he didn't hold back his son from us, but he said, I'm giving to him, giving you him freely. That should be our attitude as we give, that we are to give to God freely and first. But if we're going to give to God freely, that means that we're meant to give out of abundance and in the moments we're faced with limitations. There's a passage in the book of John that is pretty well known, and it's one of the miracles of Jesus that we find in the book of John, chapter 6. And I'm going to summarize it for you this morning, but the way it goes is Jesus was there, and he's teaching all of these people all day long, and there's thousands of the people there. And Jesus is there, and he's teaching them, and all of a sudden the disciples come up to Jesus, and they say, hey, we've got a problem. And he's like, well, what's going on? And they tell him, like, well, we don't have money to go buy any food, and nobody thought to bring food with them. And so you have to stop what you're doing and send everybody home so they can go eat. And Jesus is like, well, go look around some more and see what they have. And so they do, and they come back, and this is the report that they come back with. They say, there's a young boy, and he's got 5 barley loaves, and he's got 2 fish. But what good is this for a huge crowd? See, the disciples are faced with this limitation. This is all that they have, and they say, clearly this is not enough. But in the hands of God, when we give, it's always more than enough. When we give generously and out of that heart, he uses it in powerful ways. See, this boy gave all he had, and God uses it powerfully. And often when we talk about this passage, we think of what happens afterwards, because what happens is Jesus prays over this food and it's separated into all these baskets, and they all go out and everybody is fed. Thousands of people are fed with these fish and these loaves, and we're like, whoa, look at the miracle. Like, how amazing is it? Jesus fed all of these people. Yes, that's incredible. We should give him all the praise and honor and glory that he's due. But we forget something. We forget the heart and the sacrifice of this young boy, and the obedience necessary and the generosity needed in order for this to take place. Just imagine with me. The disciples are walking around and they're like, hey, do you have any food? Nope. Hey, do you have any food? Nope. Do you? Everybody's saying no. And then there's this young boy, and he goes, well, I have these fish and these loaves of bread. Here's the thing, like, that food was probably food for his entire family. It was probably meant more for than just that day. Probably meant for a long time. I don't think he was going to eat all 5 loaves of bread that day, because if he was, then he's carbo loading for some marathon that we don't even know about. But what does he do? He says, here's what I have. Take it all. I'll be generous and give all of this to the Lord. And I have faith that he'll provide. So, what happens then? God provides. There's another time where Jesus and his disciples are together in the temple, and this is in Mark 12. And it tells us these words. It says, Jesus sat down near this collection box in the temple, and he watched as the crowds dropped their money. Many rich people put in a large amount, and then the poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than any of the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Jesus tells us this is the heart of generosity that we're meant to focus on. And it's out of this heart of generosity that we're meant to give. And how do we get there? Well, it starts by simply following Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, he transforms our lives. And it, as we continued in this series, like it shows that Jesus has started to transform us by the way we love other people. And as we continue to love other people, we don't stop following Jesus, but we grow when we let our roots grow down deep into what Jesus is doing in this world, and we seek his kingdom first. And as we continue to do that, our hearts continue to be transformed in such a way that we become generous people in the same way God is generous as we continue to follow Jesus. Jesus transforms us and says, this is the way to be generous. This is the heart. And so why do we give? We give because we trust in God. When we give out of our abundance and our limitations, and we give to him first, it shows that we trust that God is faithful and that God will continue to give to us. Back in the Old Testament, there was this commandment that was given to the people. And it was the commandment of first fruits. And the reason why this is given to the Israelites and the people there is because they were wandering in the desert. They had just been freed from slavery in Egypt, and they're there, they're wandering in the desert. And as they're there, they're starting to complain, like, hey, where's the food? Like, where are you providing, God? And they actually say, well, we would rather be back in slavery in Egypt and having food there than where we are currently. To make it really easy, they said, God, we don't trust you to provide for us in this moment. We'd rather go back. And so God says, well, I'm going to teach you how to trust me. And so here's this law of the first fruit, that when you plant your crops, when you get to the new promised land and you plant your crops, you're to give to me the very first that you produce. The very first thing that you produce that comes up that's useful is meant to be given to me. And you give it as a tithe. And what this practice did for them is it taught them that they had to trust God with their first and trust that he would give them seconds and thirds and fourths. Later in the early church, their giving actually looks a little bit different. You know, they continue to give tithe and to take care of the church and the people there. But the thing with the very early church is they were known for their giving. They made giving such a high priority that it was something that they were known for. Like, people sought them out, widows, orphans, these people who needed help sought them out because they knew they would be taken care of by the early church, by the early believers. You can read all throughout the book of Acts about how people sold their possessions, how they gave to the needy, how it was something that they did all the time to help the poor. Giving freely and first, trusting God requires us to be obedient. And it keeps us focused on what really matters, our faith in him, that we're meant to follow him at all times. See, Jesus shares how God takes care of the animals and how God's going to take care of us too in Luke 12. He says, well, look at the birds in the sky. Don't I take care of them? I'll take care of you too. Simply put, we're just meant to be obedient and show that when we give, we trust God. And as we give, we don't stop everything else. We continue to follow Jesus as we keep giving. Because giving is not meant to be this transaction that takes place. It isn't us saying, okay, God, here's what I'm giving to you. Now, what are you going to give to me? It's simply saying, God, I'm just giving to you because you've given to me. We give freely. We don't attach any stipulations to it or expectations. God may choose to bless us, yes. And he can do so in a variety of ways, but he is under no obligation to bless us. In fact, God already has blessed us by giving us Jesus. There's an interesting passage in Matthew 23:23. Jesus calls out the teachers of the laws and the Pharisees for this idea of tithing that they have and how they put that as the most important thing in their world. And he tells them, yes, you should tithe, like continue to do that, like that's good, but do not forget everything else. Don't forget all the other commandments that are just as important. Love, compassion, mercy, grace. All of those things are just as important as we tithe. So as we tithe, as we give to God, we continue to grow. We continue to love others. We continue to follow Jesus. We cannot purchase our salvation through our giving. There's no special seating here in this place for our top givers. We don't have reserved parking. We don't do that. Why? Because it doesn't matter how much you give. What matters is your heart. And Jesus tells us we're just meant to give out of love for our God. So then what does it look like for us to actually give? How do we start to give? What are the practical steps for it? Well, we start by asking God to give us a generous heart. We say, God, would you give me a heart that's rooted in your love? Would you give me a heart that is grateful for all that you've given to me? God, would you give me a generous heart that doesn't want to give out of obligation? But I simply want to give out of all that you've given to me. And we give with a generous heart that's compassionate for others. One that wants to love other people. One that wants to show our love for God by giving back to him out of all he's given to us. In 1 John 3:16, it tells us what a generous heart looks like. It says, we know what real love is. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but they show no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? And then in verse 18, it says this. It says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. That's what it means to be generous. And so we ask for a generous heart, and then we pray specifically, God, what is it you're asking me to give? You know, you can ask questions of God, what are you asking me to give out of what's available to me? God, out of my abundance, what can I give? Out of my limitations, what can I give? You can ask the really hard question of God, what are you asking me to sacrifice? And that's something I can't answer for you, but only the Holy Spirit can speak to you in that way and tell you. And then the third step's really easy. It's giving what you're compelled to give. And that means that we give without pressure. We give without a display of our gifts, but we just give. You know, as I was writing my notes this week for myself, because I'll lose where I'm at, when I was typing out giving what you are, my computer does this thing where it auto-populates what it thinks the next word is. So I typed in the word out giving what you are, And the word that came up was comfortable. I don't believe that when it comes to giving, we're meant to always be comfortable. See, when we determine in our hearts, when we pray for this generous heart, and maybe when we ask that really tough question of, what are you asking me to sacrifice? We can maybe begin to feel uncomfortable. But I would say that's us being stretched to see how much we actually trust God. So it's not about what we're comfortable to give, but what is the Holy Spirit compelling us to give? And we should be obedient and do that. And then the last step is really easy. Repeat the process. We continue to ask for a generous heart. We continue to pray about, God, what are you asking me to do? What am I meant to sacrifice? And as we give, we should give with that cheerful heart. You can even pray for that. God, help me to give joyfully and cheerfully. Today, as we end our time, it feels wrong to tell you, hey, here are the steps to do it, and then we just move on to the next thing. So we're just going to have a minute or two of quiet, of just a little piano playing. And we just wanted to give you an opportunity to actually pray. To actually pray and ask God, what does a generous heart look like? What are you asking me to sacrifice? How are you asking me to give? So I just invite you and encourage you to spend some time, these next few moments, in prayer. And ask God what he's calling you to give. God, we thank you for all that you do, all that you've done, the ways that you give and the ways that you continue to give to us. So Lord, as we leave this place, would you help us to be people who are generous just like you are generous? God, remind us of your faithfulness time and time again. And Holy Spirit, would you empower us to trust in you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you go trusting in the one who gives and provides all that you need. You are dismissed.